All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for another opportunity. It's just good to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes we just develop these friendships, and it's just good to see each other. It's almost like a reunion. Thank you that we can gather around your word and by your spirit and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray for added grace. I know different ones have been up through the night, sometimes dealing with issues back home, sometimes working through issues with others here, and we're tired. So, Lord, help us to be sober-minded and alert, and we need your grace. So we pray without ceasing, and we ask you for your help. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was asked to address this topic on helping wives whose husbands refuse to lead. The topic alone, I mean, they need to be addressed, these topics. But it opens itself up because how is he not leading? Because sometimes you have passive husbands. They just refuse to step forward and do things. But then you have domineering husbands who aren't leading either. They're not leading biblically. So sometimes we think husbands who refuse to lead, we probably should say lead biblically, and then we can address both. But I'm going to center more on the passive kind of husband, one who, I'll explain it more. But it is challenging to address the topic because each situation varies. And you know that. I mean, you've all been counseling long enough that you know there's not one size fits all. So each situation varies. Are you dealing with two believers? Are you dealing with a mature believer? I mean, the wife? Are you dealing with an unsaved husband? There's just, do they have any support, any family around? Is it a good church that they're in? There's just so many variables that makes it challenging to talk about a topic like that. And so I'm going to be sort of general with things to be looking for and helping, basic ingredients kind of thing. But I wonder at times whether we should change the title, Helping Wives Whose Husbands Refuse to Love. Because that really is at the heart of it. If she's trying to talk with him and he won't listen, that's not loving. And we chalk it up to poor leadership. Well, it is, but at the root of it, he's not loving God and not loving his wife. And then it shows up as a symptom in leadership. I remember one couple who called and they said, "Can we come talk with you? We're having marital difficulty." And I said, "Sure." And so they drove 3 hours, I mean, where they were coming from. And so they sat down and they filled out their PDI forms. And so I put hers in front of me here. I'm in front of each of them. They're sitting both in front of me. And so I have his over here and hers and here. And I open them up to the last page first. I want to know what their problem is, the issue. I don't even like that question. You know, what's your problem and what brings you here? That's just not the most personal, inviting kind of thing. But there, I just opened them up. And usually, you probably have found this to be true too, in formal counseling, the wife has usually written through that whole paragraph and an arrow and then the whole backside. That is a typical, and then he has, "We can't communicate." That's it. So this time I opened up the PDI form, I flipped 3 pages over, and there's the 4th page, and I'm going, "Whoa." And she has one phrase. That's it. And I looked over at his, and he put, "We can't communicate." And what she put was, "I'm 38 and my husband's 12. I can still remember that moment. And so I looked up at him, and I said, "I see you put here, we can't communicate." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you know what your wife wrote?" Because I wondered if they discussed it on the way up. It was a 3-hour journey, you know. He goes, "No." "Well, I'm going to tell you. She says, She's 38 and you're 12. Hey, he looks at me. He looks over at her. Looks back at me. And he went, yeah, she's right. I went, oh boy. Let me get the crayons and the coloring book out. That was a real interesting trying to help him with leadership. I was just called into to give some comments into another marriage situation. This is rather common. I'll call their names Tom and Carol. This is his second marriage, her first. They've been separated a few times from each other, no children. And this is what he wants out of the relationship. I want no waves. I like it calm. No waves. He must have said that 16 times. And if things get a little stressful, he likes to go hunt where it's quiet in a deer stand and no one's asking him any questions. You're saying, well, why did he marry? He avoids all controversy. For Carol, his wife, this is her first marriage, and she's caught in between pleasing her husband and pleasing her domineering mother, who lives very close to them, who belittles her, manipulates her. So constant discouragement in between both of them. Carol's beaten down by her mother, and her husband's not stepping up and leading. He doesn't step in to talk to the mother or her mother. He just wants to be quiet, and then matter of fact, he doesn't even want to be around when the mother's around. He says he has to take a motion sickness pill because the waves are so intense around the mother-in-law. That's some serious stuff, you know. You're on Dramamine to be around a relative. But you catch that thing is, I don't want to be up and down with people. I just want it all calm, like it is in a deer stand. Both professing Christians, both members of the church where her mom's a part of. And she's asking, how does my husband really step up and love and lead? So there's so many different varieties. And I'm sure a lot of you are sitting there saying, I know just the person who would really need to hear this. I mean, we all know married couples where the wife is really trying to live for the Lord. The husband's just not, and maybe he says he's a believer, but he's just not stepping up. And then you also have those whose the wife is not living for the glory of God and just wants what she wants, and her husband's not giving it. Just so many varieties. And so I pray that as we go through this, there's going to be some general points, and then you would have to take these, and then how do they fit in this scenario when you're counseling? Because I can't just go with one and it fit everyone. So I'm just going to stay a little more general with some specific touchdowns. One thing to remember, that there's always help and hope, and you know that, but you need to say that to them, especially the wife. There's help and hope. And to guys who say, well, I don't know how to make decisions. Well, there's help and hope in Christ, especially with God, His character, His people, and His resources. I mean, you think what God has given us, the Spirit, the church, the Word, and then there's hope in God and His promises. And that's why it's important she doesn't put her hope in her husband changing. You don't get married to change your spouse. And that's one of the sort of premeditated disappointments. So I'll marry and I'll change my spouse, or I'll help my spouse change, and that doesn't happen. Now, what are some of the scriptures, main passages, that you'd want to help someone think through, process through? Well, Genesis chapter 2, just about the roles of husband and wife. Who's helping who?